You're in the right place. It's not by chance that you're here tonight. You got here because the Holy Spirit led you here. You know, the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Are you good? Are you a good person? Are you born again? Amen. Then your steps are ordered by the Lord, and He's the one that brought you here. Amen. The call of God is an important thing to God for us to fulfill. A lot of times we like to think of the call of God being just those who are called to preach behind a pulpit. Just your mind has an example, like your pulpit preachers, your apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Ephesians chapter 4, 11. But the reality of the matter is all of us are called. According to Romans chapter 8, it says, those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. And predestination is simple to understand. A lot of people like to turn it into some sovereign thing, but really He's predestined every single person on the face of the earth to the cross. To the cross, everybody's predestined to be saved. Every person that dies and rejects Jesus, their name's not written in the book of the life and they go to hell. It was not God's will. It was His will, according to 1 Timothy 2:4, for all men to be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:8 and 9, He doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So, which gives us an understanding to know that He's predestined all of us to that cross, to get born again, to die with Jesus on that cross, and to resurrect again by faith. Born a newness of life, born again, righteous in Christ. Those He predestined to get born again, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Justification is simply, it's a declaration of you being made righteous. It's just as if you never sinned. That's an easy, kind of a grade school way to think of it. Justified, never sinned. And those He justified, He also glorified. That's future tense. That's the, we're saved in the hope of glory, the glorification of our physical bodies. But in there in Romans 8, He's trying to get you to see something that we're called. We're called. All of us are called to do something for Jesus. Amen. As disciples of Christ, if we put our faith in Him, He's called us to do something in His body. The body of Christ is simply all born-again believers throughout the entire planet. Whatever denomination they belong to, it doesn't make any difference. If they're really holy, righteous believers, they're living for God, they're born again, they're part of His body. The body of Christ. He likened it to a physical body. He named some body parts, the hand, the eye, the ear, the nose, and so on and so forth, trying to portray a picture to us so we could understand that we have different functions within His body. All of us has a perspective role within that body, Jesus being the head. And your head's not separate from your body. I mean, your head's not in one part of the room and your body's not over here, right? Your head's on top of your body, which means you're divinely connected to God. And we take orders from the head. Jesus being that head, we as a body, whatever body part that we are within that body, we are to take orders from the head. And we all have our respective roles within that body and have a specific function. And what reveals to us what body part we are, if you'll allow me, within that body, is the equipment that makes you that part of the body. Specifically, what I'm referring to is the gifts of the Spirit. You could think of it like this, and I'm not trying to harass anybody or give anybody a hard time, but a Christian without the gifts of the Spirit operating through them would be like a carpenter without a hammer. It'd be like a plumber without a monkey wrench or a pipe wrench or without a plunger. Amen? It'd be like a musician without an instrument. The gifts of the Spirit are what qualify us to be whatever part of the body that we are. That's what qualifies us. You know, he said in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he says, follow the way of love. 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So, if you look that up in the King James Version, it means to earnestly covet the gifts of the Spirit, especially the gift of prophecy, in particular the utterance gifts, the ones that we could speak in whatever language you speak. For us, it's English. Speak in a known language and reveal the divine will of God. Because that's how we grow. When God's mind is revealed, the Bible says that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Knowledge can be revealed through those utterance gifts, in particular prophecy. He made it very clear in 1 Corinthians 14 that tongues with interpretation, he said, he who prophesied is greater than he who speaks in tongues unless he interprets so that others may be edified. In other words, if you give a tongue and interpret it, it is equal to the gift of prophecy. Both of them are revealing the divine will of God for the hour, right now. It's revealing that to us. You know, now, you may think, well, I don't feel like I'm an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, Pastor Dan. Well, you can be at ease, because 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, 28, after he just got outlining all these different body parts with Christ being the head, he said this, he said, now you are the body of Christ. So he outlines this body with the hands, feet, eyes, ears, nose, all playing their different function in a physical body. And he says, now you're the body. You are the body of Christ, and members in particular, a member would be a hand, a member would be a foot, a member would be a nose, a member would be an ear, a member would be the eye. He says, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. And then he's going to outline, he's saying, are you the body of Christ? Now every born-again believer is the body of Christ. It should be Spirit-filled. It should happen simultaneously with your rebirth. Unfortunately, because there's a lot of wrong doctrine in the claiming body of Christ, that doesn't always happen. But that's God's perfect will. We see that 1 Corinthians chapter 10 with Cornelius. Amen. Born again, Spirit-filled, grow spiritually. That's the order. That's the correct order. That's God's divine order according to Scripture. You can see that all the way throughout the book of Acts. Philip had a revival in Samaria, and immediately they sent Peter and John to Samaria. It says they were all believers. It says they all put their faith in Christ. But the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. So they send Peter and John. And Peter and John prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So we want to be born again. We want to be Spirit-filled. But to be a member of the body of Christ, being born again, is what qualifies you to be part of that body. Now you are the body of Christ, he says, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first of all, apostles, they're in divine order. He's giving you the order that they came into existence. From the time Christ resurrected from the dead up until the time where the Holy Spirit spoke those words to the Apostle Paul. God has set some in the church, first of all, apostles, secondarily, prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, which, you know, we're just going to stop there for a moment. He's talking about, is he not talking about the members of the body of Christ? The body of Christ. He's talking about different callings within that body. He's not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Can you prove that, Pastor Dan? Sure, if you go to 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 11, he talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Here he's talking about the members of the body. He likened it unto a physical body with members like a hand, the eyes, the ears, the nose, and so on. That's how I can prove it to you. So he mentions miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. The reason he put miracles and gifts and healings is because he was showing you the qualifying gifts to qualify a member of the body to be considered a pastor or an evangelist. He puts it, miracles first, which would empower and qualify someone to be an evangelist, the gifts of miracles, workings of miracles. And gifts of healings is more prevalent in the pastoral office. And again, if you don't believe me that he's not talking about spiritual gifts, he's just simply calling the evangelistic office miracles while he's calling the pastoral office gifts of healings or healings. Again, just think of it according to Ephesians chapter 4. He says apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Here he says apostle, prophet, teacher, miracles, gifts of healings. And the reason he did that is to show you that in order to be a pulpit ministry, and when I say pulpit ministry, I'm talking about the fivefold again. The fivefold ministry offices listed in Ephesians chapter 4. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Those are pulpit ministries. Pulpit ministries. Pulpit ministries. So in order to be any one of those five pulpit ministries, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, what qualifies you to prove that you are that office is either the workings of miracles, gifts of healings, or both. Both of them. One or the other or both. A lot of times you'll see, again, the workings of miracles is more prevalent with the evangelistic office. Well, the gifts of healings, which is plural, is more prevalent with the pastoral office. Now, your mind may want to think that because he listed evangelists before pastor, that the pastor's a lower office than the evangelist. That's your mind may want to think because the order that he placed it in. But that's not necessarily so. Your mind may want to think that miracles are, you know, when we see miracles, it's a spectacular thing to see a miracle, isn't it? You may want to think that miracles are more important than healings, but not according to God. You would say, well, how so, Pastor Dan? You just listed miracles and gifts of healings. But again, those are just the offices that he's listing in 1 Corinthians 12:27 and 28. Miracles being the representation of the evangelistic office and healings being the representation of the pastoral office. And I'll prove to you that when God listed the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11, he put healings, gifts of healings before miracles. Now when God writes something out, it's in divine order. You can rest assured about that. He doesn't just put things in random. We know that the Apostle Paul spoke those words and a scribe wrote it down. But it was the Holy Spirit's words that were being written down. It was not Paul's words. The Bible says that knowing this first, no prophecy of the Scripture came over the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. So it's not by Paul's interpretation, it was by the Holy Ghost's words. Amen? So when he listed the gifts of the Spirit, he listed them with healings before miracles in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. said, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, discerning of spirits, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Now, so we're members of this body, and if we're not empowered by miracles or gifts of healings, then we're not qualified to be a pulpit ministry, again, being apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But there's other callings within the body. Helps. He also lists there in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28, was the next one. He mentioned helps, then governments, diversities of tongues. Again, your mind may say, well, there's another gift of the Spirit, but that's not what he's talking about. Because he went on to say, are all apostles? And the answer is no. Are all prophets? No. Do all have gifts of healings? No. Do all work miracles? No. Not everybody does that. Not everybody's called to operate in those fivefold ministry offices. Do all speak in tongues? Well, there's where your mind might want to do another flip. Do all speak in tongues? Well, the answer, if you're born again, you should be Spirit-filled, and the answer is yes. Why is he asked the question then, pass it in? Well, look, what does the next part of it verse say? Do all interpret? Now, we know with tongues, it's called diversities of tongues, which means there's different kinds of tongues. And the one he lists here, we know that there's tongues for personal edification. That's the one you receive when you're born again. That's the one that every believer, when they get born again, if they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, they receive the tongues for personal edification. The revelation gift. God, the more you pray in tongues, the more revelation knowledge you will have. And then there's tongues that presents itself in a public assembly for the sole purpose of interpretation. Tongues for interpretation. It's a different diversity. It's a different kind of tongues. Then there's tongues that extends itself into the deep intercessorial groanings of the Spirit that empowers a believer to stand in the gap for your family, your city, your nation before your God. You can literally stand in the gap for a whole nation. It's as supernatural and powerful as raising the dead. And then there's also the fourth diversity of tongues. The fourth diversity would be tongues that empowers a believer to speak in a language they had no previous knowledge of. You've seen that in the book of Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. They were speaking in all sorts of languages. Tongues is a sign for the unbeliever, the fourth diversity. So again, we have four diversities of tongues. And going back to 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through the end of the chapter there, when he says, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret. And what I want you to notice, he said, are all apostles. Now, all of these offices or ministries that he makes mention right here are ministries who speak in public before the corporate body of Christ. And if you'll keep that in your mind and you're willing to receive what the Holy Spirit's saying, you'll recognize what I'm telling you is the absolute bona fide truth. There's no question about it. He says they're all apostles. Do they speak behind the pulpit? Apostles? Absolutely they do. Are all prophets? Now, does a prophet speak from behind the pulpit? Absolutely. They don't run around in the streets all the time. Although that is part of their office, to travel. Prophets will travel at times. You know, there's a band called the Sidewalk Prophets. I don't know what their intention was when they come up with the name. There's a lot of them in the body of Christ. They run around trying to prophesy all over everybody that gets in their path. They like to do that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're really prophets because they like to prophesy. The gift of prophecy doesn't necessarily mean you're a prophet just because you have that gift. He told us all to eagerly desire that gift. So he mentioned apostles. Are all apostles? Well, are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, again, the workings of miracles is evangelistic office. If you keep in mind that he's talking about the members of the body, the physical body of Christ, the spiritual body of Christ. Work miracles, evangelist. Gifts of healings, representing the pastoral office. Now again, those are all fivefold ministry offices so far, right? Which speak in a public assembly to edify the corporate body of Christ, correct? And if that is so, then when he says, do all speak in tongues, that do all interpret, well, when someone gives a tongue and interpretation, are they not speaking in a public assembly in front of the corporate body to edify them? Is that not what they do? Which also means that all of those listed there represent those who speak in front of a public assembly for the purpose of the whole corporate body to be edified. And if that is so, then you can rest assured that when he said, do all speak in tongues, that's not saying that not everybody's called to speak in tongues for personal edification. That's just saying that everybody speaks in tongues for the purpose of interpreting them equal to the gift of prophecy in front of the corporate body of Christ for the purpose of them all being edified. Are you with me? You know, you just may want to listen to this teaching over and over to get this in you. I haven't heard anything like this in a long time. It's just coming out of my spirit. So it's if I can understand it, anybody can understand it. That's the way I look at things. When God called me to this office, He said he uses the foolish things to shame the wise and the weak things to shame the strong. That's how God operates. He doesn't pick the most intellectual, special people to preach his gospel. But he turns them into something by his spirit. Amen? So the gifts of the Spirit are what qualify us and empower us to fulfill the call of God that's on our lives. So we know in the body of Christ there are five, we're going to call them ministerial offices, and what we can call them also ministry gifts, not to be confused with spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of special faith, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Those are spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. Ministry gifts, you could call them ministry gifts, or you could call them ministry offices. They're gifts from Jesus to the body to edify the body and grow and mature them. Ministry gifts are listed in Ephesians 4, around verse 11, which are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And then there's eight operations of God, and the eight operations are the ones that I've been describing to you listed in 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. Which again are the eight offices are apostle, prophet, teacher, miracles, gifts of healings, again encompassing and qualifying evangelists and pastor, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So we know within the body of Christ there are five ministerial offices. And these five ministerial offices are empowered by and qualified by nine spiritual gifts, which are listed again in 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. So within the body of Christ, there's five ministerial offices empowered and qualified by nine spiritual gifts. And these five ministerial offices, empowered and qualified by the nine spiritual gifts, are enveloped in eight operations of God. And these eight operations of God constitutes the entire corporate body of Christ. Now these five ministerial offices, which are empowered and qualified by the nine spiritual gifts enveloped within the eight operations of God listed in 1 Corinthians 12:27-28, are divided into three categories. Now, if you open up your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, I'll just briefly show you this. If you don't have a King James Version with you, just look up here. You can study it when you get home. Because King James had it right. So we're just going to teach for a moment. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. Now when it talks about he, it's talking about Jesus right here, because before it said he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. That's talking about him going to hell and then raising from the dead. Makes it very clear in verse 9 and 10 when he says, when he ascended, what does that mean except that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? Now what is in the lower parts of the earth? It's talking about hell. A lot of people don't believe Jesus went there, but if Jesus didn't go there, then we have to go there. Somebody had to pay that penalty. So we better believe that he went there. Substituted himself in our place, becoming our sin so that we could become his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He that descended is also he that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, it's interesting how this is worded here in verse 12 in the King James Version. It says that these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, right? That makes it sound as if that all of these pulpit ministries are for all three of those things. Now, what he's listing here is three categories. And you can write a 1, 2, and 3 right here if you want. Number 1, for the perfecting of the saints. Number 2, for the work of the ministry. And number 3, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, how many knows, look up here now, how many knows that the Bible is a revelation from God, isn't it? And now God didn't say to just read and take things and make them what we want them to say, but God did tell us to meditate the Word day and night. Didn't he? Psalm 1 and 1. He told Joshua in order to be successful and to have great courage, he said to meditate the Word day and night, Joshua 1, 6 through 8. And what he means by meditating, it means take the whole book. Even the greetings, even the Levitical priesthood, even the parts that seem boring to you, there's something in there. It's God's love for you. Every word in there is filled with the love of God. Even the judgments. It's full of love. In order to receive the fullness of God's love and have a full understanding of what God is trying to say in this book that we call the Bible, which means the book, we need to meditate the whole book, not just the parts that we want, not just the parts that get us excited, not just the parts that are conducive to where we're walking, but the whole entire book. And if you'll do that, you'll find out that it really is a revelation. That, in other words, it's something that God is trying to reveal his mind to us. He's trying to reveal his mind. So we need to meditate the whole book. So it appears as if Ephesians 4:11, in verse 12, it appears as if he's saying that the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are going to do three things. Perfecting of the saints, work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what it appears to be. But through meditation, you'll find that if you combine this with 1 Corinthians 12:27 and 28, and put the two of them together, which there's no question that the Holy Ghost expects us to do, you will find that it's actually the body of Christ together as a unit does these three things. Perfecting of the saints. Work of the ministry. Number 2. Edifying of the body. And I'll prove that to you. Now, I can remember, and this is still common in a lot of parts of the body of Christ, that when an evangelist or a prophet or somebody comes through into a pastor's church, they make a big announcement. They used to do this big in the 80s. This was a big thing. They'd come in, and I mean, it was as if they were starting a wrestling match. They would get us all pumped up to such a high level that, I mean, oh my goodness, give them a hand. This is an evangelist, brother so-and-so, and he's coming through, and he's a gift of God. He's a gift of God. And he's a gift to us right now as a body for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. And it's just about as if you need to get bowed on and worship that man, because without him, we're all going to die spiritually. So we like to glorify to a really extravagant level. We like to glorify the apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, teacher, as if everybody else in the body of Christ is just groveling around like worms in the dust, and they're just worthless without them. But that is as far from the truth as you could ever imagine. It does not matter what you're called to do. If you are born again, and you've elected yourself to become spirit-filled and become part of His true body in Christ, you are just as important as the mighty apostle is. Every one of us is. And without you as a believer, even though you may be a sheep out there in the fold right now, without you fulfilling your prospective role in the body of Christ, the body cannot function properly as a unit. It is literally impossible. So let's take a look at this. If you combine the two, Ephesians 4, verse 12, with 1 Corinthians 12, 27, and 28, and in that area there, he says, for the perfecting of the saints. I told you that the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher are the five ministerial offices, which are empowered and qualified by 9 spiritual gifts: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of special faith, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And they are enveloped within the corporate body of Christ, which is the 8 operations of God: apostle, prophet, teacher, miracles, gifts of healings, which again are evangelist, pastor, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And these 8 operations of God that the 5 ministerial gifts and the 9 spiritual gifts that qualify them are enveloped within, these 8 operations of God are divided into 3 categories. Number 1, perfecting of the saints, which what he put the ministerial offices in the body, they are for the perfecting of the saints. They are the ones that take us from milk to strong meat. They wean us from the breast so we can eat the strong meat of God, the stronger the meat of God, so that we can grow up ourselves and go on and fulfill whatever ministry it is God has called us to fulfill. Now I'm just going to stop here. That's not going to happen unless you've got a true man or woman of God standing in front of you. They'll hold you in bondage and take you to hell with them. That's why, especially in this generation where the Word of God is so readily available, you need to find out what your Bible says. And you need to pray in the Holy Ghost yourself so you can discern what's being taught, if it's from the Holy Ghost or if it's just some flesh doctrine. They're usually pretty obvious. Some of it's a little more subtle, but you can rest assured you're in safe hands here. Now, these 8 operations of God listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 27, 28, again, apostle, prophet, teacher, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues, are divided in 3 categories. Number 1, Ephesians 4, 12. The perfecting of the saints. The ones who perfect the saints are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Those that stand behind the pulpit are for your perfecting. And I can show you that in the verses after following verse 12 of Ephesians 4. He says this. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men or the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming, lying in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. From him the whole body, jointed together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, that's all of us working together, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're all built up in love. You know, notice he says here, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man. When he says to come into the unity of the faith, you could walk in a lot of born-again, spirit-filled churches and listen to what they say out of their mouths. They'll walk out of the church and say, I'm blessed, prosperous, and successful. Jesus is Lord, hallelujah. I'm seated in heavenly places with him. I'm healed, set free, delivered. I'm born again. They all speak the same things. So it appears as if we've all come unto the unity of the faith because of what we're speaking, but there's more to it than lies upon the surface. What really proves that we become mature and come into the unity of the faith is what's working on the inside. Now, and if what they taught us was true, that the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher are for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body, that would mean that the fivefold ministry gifts alone were enough for us believers to become fully mature on just from that alone. But that's not true, because he says later in this chapter, I just read it to you, that in order for us to all truly be mature, he says, as each part does its work. Which means that it's not solely based upon the fivefold ministry gifts for us to be mature. You cannot, as a believer, ever become mature without fulfilling your call in the body of Christ. It is impossible. If you don't believe me, go home and read it again. You cannot be mature in the body of Christ until you fulfill your ministry. Now, I can take you from milk to strong meat, from the breast. I can wean you off the breast onto strong meat. I can do that for your maturity. But there's something else that's necessary for us believers to do in order for us to truly become mature in the body of Christ. Now, there's a second category. I gave you the first. I'll do it one more time, and I'm repeating myself often because this is a lot for the mind to grasp. First category is for the perfecting of the saints. Apostle, prophet, teacher, miracles, gifts of healings, which again are evangelist, pastor. The second category is for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is helps in governments is for the work of the ministry. Those are typically the ones behind the scenes. They're not behind the pulpit. They are behind the scenes doing things that most of us don't even realize that they're doing. But again, they're not less important just because they're not seen behind the pulpit. Just because they're not seen in what they do doesn't mean that they're less important. They are just as important as the rest of the pulpit ministries. In fact, without those helps and governments working behind the scenes, it hinders the work of the fivefold ministry offices. It really hinders them from doing what God has called them to do. It makes their job harder, and it hinders the Spirit of God from doing everything that He wants to do through them. Because really, us fivefold ministry offices, you can read about this in Acts chapter 6, should be locked away in prayer and the ministry of the Word. He said, let us choose seven men from among us. Choose seven men from among you that are full of the Spirit and wisdom, so that they can wait on these tables, so we can give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. He said it would not be right for us to wait on tables and neglect the ministry of the Word. In other words, us preachers should be locked away with God in prayer and the ministry of the Word, so when we can come up here, we can set your liberty in order. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Not on the golf field, not doing other things, but we should God all the time. You can ask my wife, I mean, from morning to night, the Word is always playing. It's always going. And if I'm not just straight up in prayer or worship, we're listening to the Word all the time. The Word is always going in our house. I mean, till 2 in the morning. 1:30, 2 in the morning, the Word's going. When I brush my teeth before I go to bed, the Word is still going. And if my mind even tries to pull a trick on me lose focus for 1 second, I force myself to rewind to make sure I heard what God said. God's Word is important. Amen? So, the perfecting of the saints, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, the 5 ministerial offices or ministry gifts are for the perfecting of the saints. The work of the ministry, the second category, combining Ephesians 4 with 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 8, the work of the ministry is helps in governments. Helps, you know, typically, I broke this down one time, but he also lists in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 on through, simplicity of giving, he calls it. Simplicity of giving. That may be somebody that's called to run a business within the local church body to fund the gospel with. We're not talking about tithes and offerings here. We're talking about big money. Big money. And there's a lot of people in the body that do that. In fact, I'll give you an example. My niece and nephew go to a Christian school. It's a Christian school. They believe in the gifts of the Spirit and so on and so forth. And it's a private school. They need funds to come in order to pay these teachers and so on and so forth. And they had been praying about finances. They do it every, like once or twice a year, they try to do these different things to raise money to keep the school going. And they needed, if I remember correctly, it was $40,000 they needed. And they needed it right now. That's a lot of money to have laying around, isn't it? $40,000. So they prayed about it, and a man came, and I believe he went to the principal, if I remember correctly. He came to the principal and he said, "Are you believing God for some money? God told me to give you the amount that you need." He said, "We're believing God for $40,000. He wrote out a check and handed it to him. Amen. That's not normal tithes and offerings. That's a big, fat offering coming from God's hand. But first, in order to have that kind of money, without it destroying you, where you give in to the lusts of the flesh. Now, I've got to buy a new car, and I've got to do this and that. Without it destroying you to the point where you just do what you want to do, and that money going from God's hand to your hand back into God's church, you would have to be empowered and qualified by the Holy Ghost to do it. And that's where the helps ministry comes in. That's the helps ministry in particular. Helps, you could also, anybody that does things behind the scenes, whether they're small, the coffee table, you can call that helps too if you like. And that's all encompassed within that helps ministry. And then governments is more the organizational, you know, that's often operating in the pastoral office. But in particular, governments is supernaturally empowered by God to sit in the crowd, and as soon as any new believer or unbeliever walks in that door, they notice it supernaturally by the Spirit of God. They see all things. Governments is the eyes that sees all. Nothing gets past the eyes of a supernaturally empowered government of God. They see every person that walks in that door and leaves that door. They know when they sit and they stand down, and they don't do it with wrong motives, but they do it so that they can make sure that every single person is taken care of, made to feel comfortable within that body. And they're also hooked up with the church. Nobody leaves. They make sure that nobody leaves until they're born again and spirit-filled. And they're hooked up with that church. and made to feel part of the family. That's the supernatural empowerment of the governments, the organization. They are the ones that organize the coming onslaught of believers that are running in the door, caused by the revival that comes through the preaching of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Because they're going forth through their prayer and ministry of the word and causing revival, someone has to organize all of the different operations within that body to keep everybody hooked up and together. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times, what churches today like to do is they like to have programs to try to cause revival. They like to set up different programs and different groups and so on and so forth in the attempt to cause revival, but that's not the way God does it in Scripture. God caused the revival by His Spirit, by the move of the Spirit, and the programs come later to retain the coming in of the believers as a result of that revival, to get everybody hooked up. That would be done by governments. Helps in governments are those that work behind the scenes. And then there's also, in order for the body of Christ to come into the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to become mature, attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, that is not possible without that last, seemingly lowly category within the body of Christ, which is the edifying of the body, which is that last, seemingly lowly operation of God, the eighth operation, diversities of tongues, which is the most important spiritual gift. A lot of people think, well, prophecy is the most important spiritual gift. Well, it's very important. I agree with you, and God told us to eagerly desire it, but without the diversities of tongues, without building yourself and edifying yourself up, building yourself up on your most holy faith first, you will never qualify or be empowered to edify the body corporately. You yourself need to be edified first. So for us to truly be built up to the place where we can even operate in any of the other eight spiritual gifts, you have to first pray relentlessly in that first seemingly lowly operation, that eighth operation of God, which is diversities of tongues for personal edification. Because the more you build yourself up on your most holy faith, and the more you seek God for the spiritual gifts and read His Word at the same time, the more He will empower you with new gifts of the Spirit. And those new gifts of the Spirit are what qualify you to build up beyond that eighth operation into the sixth and seventh operation, helps in governments. And if you fulfill those roles of ministry, helps in governments, which also would include greeters. Helps in governments. Then you could build yourself up possibly into the one of fivefold ministry gifts: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Now, if people are not spiritually mature and they walk in the door and nobody greets them, nobody says anything, nobody makes them feel comfortable, they get their feelings hurt and they leave. I believe we've seen that tonight. Now that, really, I was in prayer. I'm just going to take the credit and say that was my mistake. I could have got up and greeted them. I could have done that. I didn't feel led to do it. I felt led that God wanted me to stay in prayer, and God has His own purpose for that. But either way, it wouldn't hurt any of us to get up and greet these new people that walked in the door. They might be sitting here right now listening to this message. It's an incredible message. They might be able to hear it. So it's important for us to all to take initiative. When there's an opportunity to reach out, ministry is meeting the needs of people. That's what ministry is. Meeting needs of people. Meeting needs. Meeting needs. Helping. It's important for us to take initiative and just step into a role and to do what's necessary to reach out to anybody that walks in the door. I used to play the role of a greeter in a Rhema Bible Church. Church of approximately 8,000 people. You know, in any given service, there'd be somewhere around 4,000 people at times. You know, with all the services combined, all the people as a total of around 8,000 members, it's probably more today. Amen. And that's it. It's, you know, the leading greeter of that church would get us all pumped and tell us that we had one of the most important roles in the body of Christ. You're thinking, how is a greeter that important? Well, we set the stage. Because a lot of those people, when they're walking in the doors, they're beat up by the devil. They're discouraged. They're depressed. They just got done getting yelled at by their boss or whatever it is. You don't know what these people, they just had someone die in their family. Somebody else is in the hospital. Something's going on. They're going through things. So they're beat down. And when they come in, if they're not expecting, if they're not in an attitude of expectation, they're not going to draw on the anointing. I don't think the body of Christ has any idea how important it is to come expecting to receive from God. When you come expect, you will get out of the service what you expect to get out of it. If you come in, if you pray before the service and you say, God, speak to me. God, I just need to hear something from your throne, God. Set me free. Give me the wisdom. If you pray like that relentlessly for a couple minutes before the service and come into the service, you watch and see how much more powerful the anointing comes. That's part of the helps is prayer. Prayer is important. So when the greeters set the stage and they get these people at least encouraged a little bit, they're more likely to joy on the anointing than sit there like a bump on the log and just minister to me now. Coddle me now. I'm beat up. I don't want to participate in this service. I just want to be a spectator. That's how most of us come into the service. When really we should be so full of the Word because we do what the pastor says and read the Word all the time. We're so full of the Word. We're so encouraged and so pumped up in prayer that we don't come to be a spectator, but rather a participator, and we also draw upon the anointing. Amen. And not only that, we bring our supply of the Spirit. Supply of the Spirit. You need to recognize that when you come in as a believer, you are to bring your supply. And if a bunch of believers get together and they're all pumped up and full of the Word, I'm telling you, it changes the whole atmosphere of the room. I can sense it. I can sense it when people are out there in the world. They carry that Spirit in here with them. I can sense it. It's all over. It's just like a stench. It's like a smell. I can sense it. It's just as if somebody just got done smoking a cigarette. You know how you can smell that if you're a non-smoker? It's the same thing. You can smell the world on them, spiritually speaking. You can also sense or smell, if you allow me to, you can sense the Holy Ghost on someone when they come in the room. Hallelujah. You can sense the anointing. The word Christ means the anointed one. The word Christian means anointed ones. And all of us are to have an anointing upon us. A lot of Christians, they don't have any anointing. And the reason they don't is because they don't spend time in the Word. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. We want to have the anointing on us. Amen? So in order for us to truly fulfill what Christ has called His body to accomplish, we need all of these different ministries working together. Apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. But in order for you to fulfill any of those other seven roles listed first, you need to fulfill that first operation of God, which is diversities of tongues. It's a prayer. You need to not think of it as just a prayer language, but a prayer ministry. It's extremely important. Extremely important. I can remember the Holy Ghost speaking to me a long time ago. He said, you have fulfilled what I've called you to fulfill in that eighth operation. And He also told me that your main ministry for the rest of your life will always be prayer. But now it's time. You've qualified. You've built yourself up into other operations. And then He moved me up into different operations. So first he told me, you've qualified, you've fulfilled that prayer ministry. And then he reminded me, he said, it's never done. Even though you've qualified in that ministry, it's always going to go on for the rest of your life. And he told me that's my main ministry, is prayer. And I'll tell you right now, that's why the attendance is the way it is in this church. Because I'm not fighting for my family anymore. I'm not fighting for West Dallas anymore. I'm fighting for an entire county to be born again. You don't think it's possible? It is. And I'm willing to sacrifice all appearance of glorification and glory and splendor. I'm willing to sacrifice all of it to sit in a room on my knees in prayer. Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my reward will be greater and I will accomplish more on my knees than I ever could by watering down the gospel to tickle your ears. I know that beyond a is just as real to me as looking in the mirror and seeing my own face. I know that's what God has called me to do, and I will refuse to let go of this county until the rapture happens. I'm not going to stop. How do you know you're accomplishing anything? I can prove it to you by things that have happened. Over two years ago, I had a principality. I would have to say it was a principality jump over me in my bed. It was no demon. It was a full-blown fallen angel. Black as darkness. It filled the whole room, was filled with coal. It felt like the room got 1,000 degrees below zero. There's no way to describe the death that I felt in the room. And this big dark figure stood over me and he said, "Stop saying it! Stop saying it!" And he threatened me to kill me. I said, okay. That's what came out of my mouth. I said, okay, I'll stop saying it. What do you want? What is it? And the Holy Ghost rose up in me. And he showed me that was the result of me constantly saying, "I thank you, Father, to all Michelle, my families and her friends, and the people of West Dallas and Milwaukee County are saying, I thank you that they're all saying." I say that over and over and over and over, and I worship God. I just say, "I thank you, they're all saved, Lord. I thank you, labors are being saved," for over and over and over and over. And I can assure you that although it initially scared me, this pastor is no longer scared, because I realize the reason he did that is because he's scared. He's deathly afraid of what's about to break loose in this county. And there's nothing he can do to stop it, because he can't stop me. He can't kill me. He can't kill any believer who knows their authority. He can't do it. He can't. The Bible says, 1 John 5:18, the one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him.
Amen.
He says, Jesus said, "Nothing shall by any means harm you," Luke 10:19. Psalm 91 says it a dozen times, he can't touch you. So what do you got to worry about? Let's all hook up together with the eighth operation, praying in tongues, and build ourselves up, and at the same time making intercession for this county, and let's bring it in, amen? Let's pray it in. Let's not get discouraged by what we see, and let's have a little faith. Pastor Dan, you've been here for 3 years. I know I have. Does it look like I'm ready? Does it look like I'm discouraged? No. I get more encouraged every day, and it becomes more real to me that the 1,000 has already come in that God sung to me about. 1,000 is coming, so renew your mind, he said. He sung it over and over. Not only is 1,000 coming, but I believe this whole entire county is going to get saved. And do you think that I as a pastor, as I as a pulpit ministry, am going to be able to handle 1,000 people on my own? That's why I'm teaching this message tonight. Did you know I had no idea I was going to talk about any of this tonight? This is for you, my friends. God's speaking to you. He wants you to realize that if you'll build yourself up in this eighth operation, praying and the edification, personal tongues for personal edification, if you'll build yourself up, you'll begin to fill those other roles. We're going to have less casualties of people walking out the door. We're going to be able to retain more people. And not only that, this church will be full. And if this church prospers, you will prosper. And if this church prospers enough, you can quit your job and we could all work together in ministry. Amen. Wouldn't that be good to be working full time for the Lord? I'm all about it. Now, I'm already doing that. I've been doing that for years now. How do you afford to do that, Pastor Dan? God is my banker. God provides for us. He does it. He's a miracle worker, constantly working miracles in our finances. I like to enjoy, I enjoy watching him do it, and I've, as much as I used to be, you know, it used to be frustrating to believe God for finances, but now instead of frustration, I feel anticipation. Now I'm just like, I just want to see what he's going to do now. Amen. Because the more miracles you see, the more faith you will have for more miracles. It happens that way. Because when these prayers come unanswered, it just builds up your faith more and more. That's why Israel's songbook, the book of Psalms, you'll see them constantly repeating over all the miracles God did in Egypt and the Red Sea and in the desert. They thank God for that over and over, remembering what he did in the past because it built up their faith. Amen. So take your perspective role within my body, says the Lord. For I've called you to this hour, and what an hour it is. There's never been an hour quite like this hour, says the Lord. It's a glorious hour. It's an hour in the sphere of time that I've called you to go forth with my anointing and bring the living water to those who thirst, to bring the bread from heaven for those who hunger. For the righteous will be filled, and those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, says the Lord. So build yourselves up on your most holy faith by praying in my spirit. And as you build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in my spirit, you will learn to be led by my spirit, for I will give you the details. I will lay that firm foundation within your heart to be led. And I will take the stroke of the brush, one after another, putting those details so that you can hear and see and know the things of my spirit more clearly. I will build you up by my spirit into all the other gifts and callings that I've placed within your heart. For I'm the one that placed those desires in your heart. For I am the one who places the desires in the hearts of those who delight in me, says the Lord. So delight yourself in my spirit. Delight yourself in the meditation of my word and watch your desires become my desires and my desire become your desires and unity and oneness together, says the Lord. Do not downplay your call. For if you will humble yourself and fulfill your ministry of prayer, I will exalt you in due time. For it's those who are humble and resist pride, those who humble themselves under my mighty hand, that I will exalt in due time. So be not discouraged and know that you're called. Know that I've called you to this important call that I've placed within your heart. Know that you are important to my body. Know that my body cannot function without you. Know that your role is so very important that the body cannot function without you, says the Lord. So take commands from me, for I am the head, and you are seated with me. You are seated with me in a position of authority. And as you allow me to work through you by my spirit, we will rule and reign with an iron scepter together. For it is my word that is my scepter, and it is my word that you will rule and reign with through me, says the Lord. For there's many gifts and offices. There's many gifts and offices that I'm attempting to develop by my spirit, but you must yield. You must do that which is necessary. You must seek me with your whole heart. For I have told you my word, that you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Now you may say, but how? How do I seek you with my whole heart? And this is what I say unto you, says the Lord. For I've told you how to seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and my word. Do you not recall? Do you not remember what has been taught? For I've told you it is through your fasting your prayer and your giving that you seek first my kingdom, says the Lord. So seek me. Seek me with your whole heart through much fasting and much prayer, much sacrifice of your time. For your time is precious to you, but it is even more precious to me, says the Lord. For when you sacrifice your time to me, it is very precious, says the Lord. So give me your time. I've given you the talent. I've given you the mina. I have given it to you and expected you not to lay it away in a piece of cloth, but to be a good steward of that which I've given you. And I have given you time. For there's much time that you have. But you must manage your time. You must manage your time by asking me to help you to manage your time. And as you allow me to become your God and your Lord, and allow me to manage your time through you, you will find that you have the time. You have much time. And now is the time. Now is the time to step into your ministry, says the Lord. Now he just moved on me different. I want everybody to come forward. We're going to pray for you right now.